Good evening.
Yay.
It is 7 o'clock. It's Wednesday evening. And here we are again. Reality is just skipping a little bit every once in a while. Don't worry about it. Well, go ahead and worry about it if that's what works for you. Okay, so what we're doing on here on Wednesday night, this is we're working our way through one of the Secret Talks volumes that EJ put together many, many years ago. It's called Work of Groups. And what we're doing is we're going through or discovering different ways to work with the material, okay? But what I wanted to do is I wanted to start us off a little bit in just kind of like, where are we right now? Okay, and we've just finished about a 40-week course working through EJ's remarkable volume called The Invocation of Presence. Do you have a copy of that over there, Dan? Does anybody have a copy of Invocation?
I can get one.
Yeah, get one real quick. And it's a spectacular volume to work through, and in so many ways it details out what is the process of invocation of presence. And if you remember, Pat, that very last chapter, after all those pages, summarized it in 2 pages. It was just like, it was a knockout punch. And in it, it had this mantra that you can take with you wherever you want to go. And Paula, do you remember what that mantra was from Invocation of Presence? Dan, can you answer the phone? By the way, we have to get a copy of this. Is this image available, the hermit, as a print?
Not at the moment.
Marvette's working very hard to get the print available, which is called The Hermit, one of EJ's remarkable. Once again, his this wasn't a charcoal, was it? This was the this was a pastel, color pastel, and it's really quite beautiful. And it's actually, I'd like to order one. Yeah. Anyway, so in the last chapter there, which it says something. Do you want to take a shot at it, or should I read it?
No.
Of the mantra.
Huh?
Of the right? Okay. Hello. I wish this to be used for the invocation of the presence of my presence into the present.
Here's the way it goes. I wish this to be used to invoke the presence of my presence into the present. It's a powerful tool, and many of us have it on my on a little post-it note on the inside of my I have a little binder that I take with me to business meetings, and inside is, you know, blank paper. I open it up, and there's the little post-it, and it's like I can't avoid it. So I wish, first of all, you're calling forth the universal whatever, but it's I wish, and you're like establishing yourself. This is whatever situation you're in the moment. For instance, if you're driving back from Sacramento in the rain with 2 visitors from India, that's the this. If you are in a car that doesn't start because its battery is gone, that's the this at that moment. It's a curative element that allows us to move into the space called invoke the presence of my presence. You wonder, well, why do you say that's kind of like, you know, repeating himself there. He made a mistake. He wants to distinguish specifically the nature of the invocation. So we did this kind of work for 40 weeks, I think it was, Pat, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Something like that?
Yes.
And so it's like we got ourselves ready, and then what fell at our feet was this book called Work of Groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, is Harry here tonight? You see him on their piano? No, not yet. And he would always remark how he could feel the group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what that meant to him. We actually asked him a few times,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to ask him a lot more times and ask all of us. I feel the group. There's a groupness that happens, which I consider impossible, kind of. Almost impossible is what I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about people that are in three time zones away. Sometimes people that join us from India, as the morning is just beginning for them over there. And yet they feel a groupness. So how does it, what is the nature of that? How does it come about? And so we're, what we're doing in this particular class is we're notating elements that come about that we call the elements of group work, of group formation. We're not quite ready to talk about group work. Right now we're just talking about what is a group.
Backing up.
Yes, please.
The structure of the statements that we use in the formulation that EJ gave it to us in the invocation of presence workbook, that I have decided can be construed for myself as a command. Now, the difference for me between
nice.
A descriptive statement of, well, how are you doing, or a statement of inquiry, you know, what's going on here, or like for this week, we have a series of potential exercises that we have a look at from this last week's reading of 20 pages, and the one that I picked had to do with the use of a question. And then I thought tonight, when I heard this stated again, and I heard it in your formulation, Paula, because
yeah.
I understand the syntax in the Espanol and the Latin-based formulations, they're different than the American English. Even English English would be slightly different. And I heard that because it's, there are certain I forget what they're called, like verb types or action types, and, you know, they had a different meaning to them if it was a declarative statement or a inquiry statement. It had a different look to it when you were writing it. It also has a different sound to it when you were speaking it. See how my voice is going up at the end of a question? And internally, if you reflect it back to yourself and you say, I wish, that is a direction
uh-huh.
that you are giving yourself. It is a command. Do this with this occurrence, with this happenstance, with
nice.
This environment, whatever the conditions are. So, what I took from where we were at the end of
mm-hmm.
invocation of presence, which was we have the capacity to tell ourselves what it is that we intend. And once we have
wow.
communicated to ourselves what we intend, we also have the capacity to share the energy that occurs because we tap into what occurs when we invoke our presence and are present in the moment. That is the first, to me, that is the first element of groupness, is you have noticed, and that's that word that David was saying before, we are notating, you have noticed a distinction between the singularity and the unity of the whatever it is that you're doing. And it can only be tension, it could only be, you know, physical efforts together, it could be hearing each other and listening to each other in this chat, be any of those. The modality is not significant.
Correct.
So I'm linking what David was talking about that we were taking from invocation of presence into this tech, which is work of groups, and what we are doing with our review and study of this text this time is not to say, ah, this is how groups work. No, it is for us to note what we see occur in our work together.
I've known Pat for about 30, a little over 30 years now.
Yeah.
And in that time, I've marveled at the, I don't know, the, I'll call it coincidence control,
mm-hmm.
that, because that's a term that gets used in this particular school. But, so Pat used a word in describing the mantra from invocation of presence. She used the word capacity. She says, if you are notating this and you're doing, that means you have the capacity to do it. That's the beginning point
mm-hmm.
of this work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a legal term. Do we have any lawyers anymore?
Yes.
Or are we able to get rid of most of them?
No.
I think we
allowed
no.
the lawyers. Yes, we did.
Oh, my God.
We said lawyers could stay if they behaved themselves properly.
All right.
We did.
All right.
Yeah.
We lowered the bar.
Hey, you know, times are tough.
Times are tough. We accept anybody, even lawyers. Okay. So in the legal profession, there's a term called standing. Okay. And that kind of means, do you have the right to be involved in this legal matter? Do you have standing in this legal principle that's going on? So what I want to start with is that we have been working with our essential selves together, but in a certain way, individually. And because we have developed a certain ability at presence, we now have the essential self has standing in this process called work of groups. Now,
there's another expression of that. It's called time and grade. And that
time and grade is a more common term.
The reference in the political culture is what gives you the right to speak about this. That's the expression, and it comes up when the carpenter has taught his apprentice enough so that the apprentice can take on the job. And he says, do you have time and grade? Can you actually carry it out? And that's, you know, that's that little borderline. In our case, we don't have any particular designated, definable structures that say.
But.
Go ahead.
But. We can recognize it when you see it.
Yeah.
Okay? One second. So when we have this standing, it's like the essential self is calling out and said, hey, wait a minute. I know you're out there doing all this stuff. I want my say. It's like pounding on the table. It's my turn to be heard too. And we bring the best we have. We bring the best we have, and we find coworkers and recognize. That's an objective sensibility that this individual, there, I see something in that person that is like this thing that is, I call home, where I feel at home,
mm-hmm.
where I should be. So we have standing in that presence, and we open up our eyes and we look around and we go, oh, I get into some very, very strange emotional situations sometimes. And Pat saw it the other day when we were working on the beginning of some of that one company we have in common. And I had all this stuff going on, but I also knew, and Pat wasn't feeling very well, and I also knew at that point, I knew that she didn't say, that's who you are. I wasn't judged because of my human biological machine reactivity, because she remembers the essential self that is vibrant and in me. Okay? That's the beginning of where we start in this particular study. It's the standing we have in our own, the work we've done, time and grade, that has brought us to this point. Go ahead, Dan.
Grocky has a couple of comments.
Who?
Grocky.
Hey, Grocky. Greetings.
Etymologically, in ancient Judaism, wish was indeed like a magical command.
Yeah.
A strong, strong intent of will. That is what the word meant. And then he says, that just made me better understand the word notwithstanding.
Good.
Thank you. It's really helpful, especially people who have a grasp of, you know, this teaching in different languages, but also from different points of view, to share that, because, you know, the truth is that we are mostly word-driven to start. And so if we have to get over our words before we can get someplace, it's nice if the words have at least a similar meaning and understanding for all of us, if not, you know, exactly the same based on experience and understanding. But words, as EJ uses them, can be so finely tuned to reflect the resonance, the chamber, the macrodimensional area that, you know, it is a quality that we can add our attention to,
mm-hmm.
and it enhances our understanding. So sharing, you know, your fine knowledge of the meanings of some of these words is very helpful for everyone, and I welcome it.
Look what else happened, though. Grocky, who we know very well,
mm-hmm.
for many, many, many years, entered into the space.
Definitely.
Right? It was like he took the thread, the golden thread, and passed it, his needle, through the quilt,
mm-hmm.
to make a stitch.
Mm-hmm.
A stitch which will help us hold us together. His reality now, in a certain way, his presence for me, is
woven in.
Very real at the
yep,
moment.
It's right in here.
So one of the things, Pat, here's something that you might want to, can you, yeah, you have your voice.
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay, so these are, so each week, go ahead and read the first point.
Scribe.
So put the context.
The notation in the notebook that our scribe is
maintaining
for us, which Marvette has that post, It says functions of a group, 4 points. This is from last week. And the first one says, bribe as a function seems necessary.
So we have a fair witness in each event, in this case, and it's a whole lot of effort. And we call that the scribe. So that's an element that is part and function of the group. What Pat is reading from is Marvette also, and we tell her too, we highlight it and we say, here are elements that we think are groupness.
Mm-hmm.
Please note it down. And she has a special little pink book, I think it is. And she writes them all down there. And out of that, over the next few weeks, we'll craft points that we think might be helpful to us as a group. And so last week, Pat came up with a number of things.
I submitted three, and also there was one from David. So my first one was scribe seems necessary. The second one was the come along. And it's bridging a gap by asking a question. For example, Silverdale asked the question, what do you mean by blue line? The question that he asked functions to highlight a term or concept so the entire group can hear it defined. From David, it says, in a group, you must allow for the weakest link. So it's including all by providing a way to come along together, not leave anyone behind.
But I didn't finish that comment last week when I did it.
Good.
And I realized most of the time that the weakest link is me.
Well, that's an attitude to always hold.
Go ahead.
Yes. And then the third one was a way to bring a more unified focus, and then we'll take it further. I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
And then from David, an element of what a group is, the process of asking questions into the group.
We can't hear you.
Phone.
We can't hear you.
Dan. Phone. Thank you.
The third point that you brought up last week was in relation to the guy that was on the phone the first week.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if it was related to looking kind of the decision to not go with creating rules or another direction, but stay under a certain focus of what was happening. Although there was some indication that it's not like a bad thing to do, but we're formulating them on the fly. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Good.
This is very, very helpful. As you can see, nothing is yet defined. We've just noted them. Okay, from David, an element of what a group is, the process of asking questions into the group. And I want to emphasize the words that we're using here is the question is not asked of the group. The question is asked into the group as the groupness can hold a question. So the question goes into the group for the group to hold, not necessarily to provide answers, not necessarily to do anything except just hold it. This is a different way of understanding how question and answer is a process, not a solution or an end. Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And the whole thing with that is that it makes it impersonal. We don't know. Do you remember that? What was that thing we did, Jewel? Remember we'd sit around and then when the angel hit you, you're supposed to say what I am, or remember that when? No,
it was
in the
here.
Living room here.
It was when we did Sunday.
We had these dinners.
Sunday dinners.
And we then we
community
clear
dinner
everything away, and there'd be like 30 people in the circle,
mm-hmm.
and if the angel touched you,
mm-hmm.
you would say,
I am here.
I think you would say, I am, or I, or something
yeah.
like that. So you would declare that into the group. So the group is sitting there, and then if you had that sense, whatever it is, you go, I am.
Yeah.
So that the angel, so you don't know what question is coming to you, nor why is it coming to you. So we begin to dissolve our personal position and understand that we have a service to the group. And maybe you're the only one on the planet that that particular question is coming to, and that choir of angels is up there waiting for somebody, and they see you. So you flip it from, what do I get about this, to, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm supposed to do this for the group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it for the group. Okay? What else you got there?
Let's see. More from Grocky. What David was saying about what this course is all about, much like what Marvette was talking about at the end of Sci-Fi Tonight, EJ is indeed such an amazing master of words. I often marvel at it, and somehow he makes it all so natural, even though almost immaculately precise.
Yeah, nice to put.
And then Bardo Walker agrees and says, I find the same, Grocky.
Good.
And Grocky says, there is a lovely phrase from an old, incredible string band song. The questions are the answers, sir. I thought I knew me yesterday, the one who sings this song.
That's a good placement.
Yeah.
That's a very good placement to be at. You just gave me chills. If you don't think that you know, you have the opportunity. And if you agree that it could be known, for sure it will be. And if we look at what EJ operates as, jeweler, chef, puppeteer, theater master, ceremony, master of ceremonies. I mean, it just depends on which realm you want to lay into. Fashion designer?
Hundreds.
Dance choreographer? So functionality is not the definition of the communication. It has no... There is not a limit.
Nice.
So if there's not a limit, then it could be exactly how and what you are manifesting in this moment. Bring your presence into this moment.
We got the instruction in the last 40-week course what to do. I wish this to be used to invoke the presence of my presence into the present, and that's what we're doing together. So this is long-winded, but that's what you get as part of what I do.
Yeah.
And to get us started. So this, now we're in the fourth week of this course, and we're running it totally differently. Like, one way to run things is, here's an exercise, let's all do it together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've done that for 8 or 9 years now. I don't know if Jenny's on. I can't remember when she got us all started on HBM on this thing, but it was probably 8 or 9 years.
2009.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's now.
That's 8 years.
That's before now. Okay. And
before now.
It is. I can prove
it. How can you tell? It looks the same to me.
It's a smaller number.
No, it isn't. You're looking at it upside down or sideways. Go ahead.
And we've done that. We've gone through practical work on self, which we also did, was exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody do the exercise. Here we're trying something different. We're saying, okay, look, we have a lot of exercises that get pointed out in this volume. What if the group, we just look at the exercises and different people go out and do different exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And then you report back like you were an investigative reporter and you say, here's what I noticed.
Yep.
It doesn't mean here's what I did and I overcame this and I saw into the bardos and the mystical union of all the gods was there before me.
Really?
Yeah, it was just something, you know? Or you just go and you say what you noticed as well as you're able to say it. And then you bring that back into the group. Okay? So by bringing it, so Mark is not, Grocki is a, he's an accomplished guy, first of all, and he has a lot of ability. He's comfortable with speaking and sharing. He's well trained at it. But every time you do that and you share into the group, it's a risk point. You risk who you are at that moment. The energy of that risk is your payment that you're able to give into the group. How do you like that?
I like it.
Just came.
Yeah.
That's the payment. And that's part of the I wish this. Okay? Take the risk. And that's your ticket. That's the golden ticket. Get that we all get. So this week what we did is well, I don't know what to do either, but so just read the next 20 pages of the bloody book from page 11 to page 31, and then we listed out, Dan, how many exercises did we list out? Can you flip back over there? Because it's almost 34 minutes into the...
It was 10. Dan's going to tell you any second now.
We sent out an email, I listed, but I forgot the number.
Okay, so I see 8 exercises.
Yeah, exercises. And that was just a cursory. We went through it and said, okay, well, here's 8. And then people says, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Some people declared and others didn't declare. And some people had even a different relationship to the process.
Yes.
And well, no, I was going to ask Marvette if she wanted to talk about her particular passionate.
She's chuckling to herself.
She's trying to hide.
Now the phone is going to come right into her hand. There she goes.
Okay, well, I called up David to say that this email was coming about the points from last week. But I also said that all week I was looking at it, and actually I'd been looking at it for a couple weeks, realizing that I didn't have a window to do any of the exercises, and I didn't have a window to read the book. In fact, I didn't even know where it was because it had moved, and I couldn't even look after it. But it was bothering me for quite a while, and so he pointed out that that was like I was holding the group. Because I had committed to, you know, distilling the points out of the notes that I take and put it in that book and send the email so that it could be accumulated, the function of groups, notations. But that's all I could do. And so that is going to be probably my contribution of holding the group, because I will be holding it throughout the week. It remains with me. I have to work with it.
So that's
I like that.
Isn't
statement.
That a good answer?
I really love that statement, because now I'm not going to feel so bad.
Well, you can go ahead and feel bad
I don't choose to.
Welcome to it.
I'm very happy you made that statement, Marvette, because it proves something about how a group actually can accommodate to any situation that it will allow as a group if it contributes to the group. And you may think that is just going around in circles with the words, but it's definitely not. Marvette establishes the chamber in which we operate. Physically, She sets the cameras up. She sets the microphones up. She sets the tables up. She sets the space for us to do. She turns on all the electronic devices. And she sits and monitors the content as it flows by her own notation, so that if she needs to go back and find something in the tapes later, she has a reference point to locate. Oh, do you remember that time and blah, blah, blah that we were doing? And she can find it because she's enough attention on the process to be able to record in her own hand what is being recorded in the electronics. So that's a given. That's what she's already contributing to the group. Now, she honors us with, you know, and I know this because I spent a couple decades in the group to which she is a master contributor. She has scribe quality. So she can scribe for the group and for herself and run the electronic equipment and host us at the same time. So I'm saying that because I know she never would, but you who are watching this 20 years from now will realize that there were a lot of people behind this picture and this sound that contributed to have this thing take place. In fact, the very floor, I was going to say walls on which we stand, but this is the floor down here. The floors on which our feet are standing have been built by many, many people. And those footsteps are still here. We would not be here without all of us. So group contributions come in many forms. They are not necessarily today's exercise or this week's, okay, everybody, I want you to go home and do your homework. That's, you know, it's not the children exercise. It is the heart exercise. She carries us in her heart all week, the efforts of the group
that's
and
right.
the goal of the group. That's with her all the time. And that's why I don't feel so bad, because I can't do it either.
So, first, let me just ask into the space here. Did anybody grab an exercise that they did want to do and did it and they'd like to share? I'll start with people online.
Yes, please.
Okay. Did any of the eight exercises that I listed out in the email or that we talked about at the end of last week cook for you? Did any of them cook for you and that it was something that you really wanted to do?
Hey, Dave, since it's going to take people a moment to type in a response to your request, I'll just mention I worked on the dead exercise. Dropping my face, which, of course, instantaneously affects the whole of the body, but then extending it to allowing my whole body to go limp as though it were dead. And the connection I found was that it facilitates the invocation of presence just because there's no tension involved in the dispersal of the essential self. But anyway, I found that dead exercise, just a collapsing of the physical body without mental or emotional or physical movement, facilitated that invocation of presence. So that dead exercise was, for me, quite enlightening.
So for quick reference, that's on page 21. It's a chapter called, chapter 11, called The Dead Exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a couple of pages long, and some of us have worked with it in many, many different forms. So thank you for that, Silverdale.
You said chapter 12?
No, 11. Page 21, chapter 11. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to comment on Silverdale's comment. I think that's fabulous that you worked with that and discovered that. And what keyed me in was that you said you let your body go limp. And I just wanted to, that's reminiscent of one of the mantras that is so valuable in the Bardos that I've worked with for years. I don't, you know, Ichi gave it a long time ago. It's when in doubt, go limp. And that will see you through a lot of tight spaces in an invocation. Because your body, when it develops tension and rejection, it ejects you from the space. And lots of times it ejects you physically from the space, but if you're not ejected physically, you will be ejected from the vibration of the invocational space. And so that is such a key element for working on self and certainly the invocation of presence. But yeah, you really struck a strong one there. And that's, you know, since this was assembled so many years ago in the 70s and published in 1980, that's probably when the mantra came out, because I know I heard it in the 80s. And it's so valuable.
What a terrific affirmation, Marva. Thanks for seconding it.
Go ahead, Dan.
Laura says, I have an image of Marvette 20-plus years ago on a cold night sitting by a potbelly stove scribing late into the night in the atrium.
Yes.
Most talented.
Thank you.
Vidara says, I did the banishing exercise and I realized I always incorporate it into my treatment, but I had an experience of a deeper level when I was learning of radical acceptance. Accepting reality is a banishing of delusional thinking.
Repeat, please.
The last part or all of it?
The full.
Go ahead, the whole thing.
Okay. I did the banishing exercise, and I realize I always incorporate it into my treatment. But I had an experience of a deeper level when I was learning of radical acceptance. Accepting reality is a banishing of delusional thinking. And then we have another comment from Eric Brummel. I grabbed learning a new skill in a week.
Right.
I noticed success in the skill and continued resistance to performing the tasks.
Wait a minute, I didn't get that.
Now there is beginning to be a counterbalance to the resistance.
Can you read that?
I grabbed learning a new skill in a week. I noticed success in the skill and continued resistance to performing the tasks. Now there is beginning to be a counterbalance to the resistance.
Thank you. That is so fun. Any more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are
you reporting?
No, I'm not reporting.
Okay.
I was going to comment.
Good.
On what Vidara. It just gave me a different idea about banishing, that there's a certain form of banishing that seems to be holding the space of clarity. Banishes the darkness,
mm-hmm.
which means you have no judgment even of the darkness. You just are holding a particular space, and it is the voice into that particular chamber. We all understand, you know, the banishing of, you know, the sage, and you walk around the sage and the salt, you walk around the room banishing. That's an external modality of it. Or maybe banishing has other attributes that are very, that we can dig out. And now that I see somebody using it in their day-to-day practice, maybe it's something I can put to work with.
I would like to go back to the way that it was stated. Could you please read it one more time, and then I'm going to have to copy it down because there's mystical clues there for me.
We have another comment from Muscle Spark. I worked at banishing without drawing attention to myself. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Good.
I love that.
Vedera says, I did the banishing exercise, and I realized I always incorporate it into my treatment.
Okay, stop. Just for a moment, recall that the word incorporate means to take it into the body. So you are making it
corporeal.
Corporeal. It is part of this thing you walk around. The next sentence, please.
Nice.
But I had an experience of a deeper level when I was learning of radical acceptance.
Right. Okay. So if you go deep and you learn something, then you have to either make room where you already are or make a new space for it. And that word, radical acceptance, that is the most heretical phrase that there is, because we think of surrender as like, okay, I'm going to increase my tolerance and I can handle this. I'll surrender. Radical acceptance means you actually agree to it even though you really don't. It's obnoxiously so much a conflict that you must resolve internally. So this is something that you're saying is incorporated into yourself in the act of banishing before you begin your practice. Holy goodness gracious.
Holy moly.
You've just written a mystical
chapter.
Your footsteps as to the practice that you do.
I'd like to share an experience.
Please.
I had.
Yeah.
And you're a part of that. Your name's going to come up.
Okay.
In vain a little bit here.
I won't dismiss it.
Okay.
Okay.
And it because of what Vedera said, it brings it up for me. So the other day, Pat came over. She was not feeling well, but she came over in spite of that to fulfill a particular task that was very time sensitive, because we're in this tax filing season and something had to get to the guys, okay? She came over, and I was very proud of the packet I had put together. I was bursting with pride, okay? And I handed her the package, and Pat started looking at it, and then, are you okay over there?
Yeah.
She had to be there. And she started looking at it in a very particular way.
Too much.
And
oh, dear.
I got upset with her that she was doing it in that way. And I said, damn it, look at it like this.
Stop that, what you're doing.
I didn't say it, but I tried very hard to just stop her. Because, damn it, can't you see how good a job I did? And so somehow I survived that, and she had the thorough right at that point to just, you know, with her 357 Magnum, just take me out. It should have been okay. But I reflected on it after that, and I realized, what was I doing there? That was just the way she did it. And I realized that whatever the reason is that she did it that way had no effect on me, did it?
Right.
And could I not have just as generously accepted her behavior at that time as constitutional for her at that moment? So, Vedera, thank you for sharing that, because it helped me see that event in a very different way. So, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah.
Do you want to want me to finish her statement or go on to another?
No, those were the steps that I was looking for.
Yeah.
And people get the log or the blog or the whatever it is, and you know, the chat log.
Okay.
They can read that. I just, you know, sometimes things like that strike me because there's an actual process that is described in the sentence in the exact manner, and it's good to note. We do actually speak to ourselves about what we do.
Will you go back and look at the archives, Marvette?
Mm-hmm.
Does the log show up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we can go back and look at the archive, and we can see these specific statements on the live stream Gorbag TV.
Yeah, we just have to make sure you click the icon that shows it.
So
it's on the far right of the
So it's there as well, if you want.
Okay. Hey, Gepalt says, I read the pages and the exercise just before class tonight, realized that the exercise was something completely different than what I was feeling guilty for not doing.
Guilt is a very
good
thing.
Thank you.
Just keep working on it. Perfect your guilt.
Yeah.
And Grocky says, with respect to the dead exercise, by laying down as if dead and simulating rigor mortis at age 13 is how Ramana Maharshi, one of the most famous of modern-day saints, became realized. And Vivera says, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you, Grocky.
That's really a good one to
recall. I
read
his stuff in the early 70s, and that had struck me as well. I'd forgotten it.
Now, there was a couple of people who said that they were going to do the one that I mentioned last week.
I know.
And I'm just bringing it up so people might want to speak if they signed up for it.
And I have
an email
from somebody.
That I wanted to figure out what question I wanted to ask of the group. That was the question, that was the exercise that I gave myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it down when I got home. What do I wish to ask of the group? And then I was offended with myself for considering that I should ask of the group anything. So I had a long dialogue about, you know, whether I was allowed to and et cetera, et cetera. And I ended up with the understanding that I have come to several times from the whole cycle of talks of the month, which were generated almost entirely on the basis of a question. And the question that gets asked always was reformulated and reformulated and refined and worked with just as the actual question itself, that the asking of the question required this attention to the formulation of it, the structure of it. And so I have given myself permission to do another week with my formulation because it's not complete at this point. But I wondered if any other folks who took that exercise worked with it and in what manner. Did they proceed with that, you know, that process? And you said you got an email.
Yeah, but we won't have time to get into my email. But
okay.
An exercise. That it was an exercise that somebody had a different one of the different exercises that's not hasn't been discussed
hasn't been
yet.
Written.
But
yeah.
We don't have enough time to do it tonight because to give it its due.
Due, yes.
So this is very good, this thing about a question, just posing that into the space now.
Oh, you mean I was demonstrating?
Creates this scary part of myself that says, well, gosh, what would I ask this group? And so then you have to ask yourself a little bit, I have to ask myself anyway, why was there a little flutter of nervousness when I thought, well, what question would I ask this group? What was it that was nervous in that process?
Well, There's one other piece that I can just put in. We got enough time for it?
Yeah.
So many, many, many times, I cannot tell you how many times, and Marvette can back me up with this, EJ has said you have to be willing to ask for help. And that's a guide line, no matter where you are, who you are, what you're doing, or your circumstances. You have to be willing to ask for help. And so I was thinking, in relation to my wanting to put a question into the group and wanting it to be right, what is it that I'm not agreeing to ask for help about that's prohibiting that process from taking place?
Did you get that? Do we get this?
I don't know if we do or not.
Well, next week we can get into the whole idea of this question thing. Again, it's vast. And to me, it's like a line that you throw into the ocean when you ask a question. You throw it into the ocean, and you draw in the rest of the group. Questions like this are impersonal. They are not your questions. They just, the invocation comes through you, and that might be exactly what the group needs to hear that week. Okay?
When you ask that question, aren't you then asking for help?
It's a way of proceeding that takes me, Pat, out of the picture because I've agreed to take the step.
Mm-hmm.
And what my considerations are irrelevant because the question itself has more potency. It gets muddled if you fool around with it, you know, and try and express yourself and all that kind of stuff. But yes, it does. It belies the question of who is asking, but in another way, it must be you that asks it, because the way that you ask the question is the way that the group can take it. And that, again, is the secret of talks of the month. Because the formulations of the questions in Talks of the Month came from the interaction that EJ allowed of the person with the situation. And then he said, can we elevate that to what is the principle here? And that always put it on a level that was globally useful rather than specifically, subjectively, personal. And that, you know, that's the goal. And I'm referencing Talks of the Month specifically because that is a tool that exists and is available, and people
can be downloaded.
Yeah, and they are another form of this. They are another form of work of group. They were scribed group events. And, you know, they were very roughly edited. They were not made polished or anything like that. So,
good.
Yeah. Useful tools.
How are we doing over there, Dan?
Grocky says, did not work with that exercise specifically, but in general, working at learning how to communicate with others better by refining the questions that I ask them and being more creative with them.
Very nice.
Exactly.
Very
Thank
nice.
You.
And he says, EJ has a whole CD set workshop available called The Answer is Only as Good as the Question. Or maybe they were DVDs.
Don't we know it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Since we're, you know, really at the end of this, was there specific functions of the group that you, I mean, I didn't hear that you were pointing out specific things. I did hear some things that I have to go back to determine what they are, but was there something that you wanted to point out as a function of the group that you, there's sticking in your mind from this week?
Yes, but I'm not going to tell you quite what they are yet because they're embedded in one of the exercises
that we're going to
look at a little bit next week.
Yeah.
But I think we're emphasizing the last point we made on the last set that we did, an element of what is a group, the process of asking questions into the group. And so we've explored that and made it a little deeper here, and I think we're going to be exploring that a lot more.
And with the assistance of everybody in the chat tonight, thank you so much for your contributions. It's extremely valuable to be able to share that. One other final little bit about this. If you recall, one thing that we talked about a couple of different times was having the connectivity, stimulate the resonance memory. So one of the ways we suggested you could do that was by knowing where people were going to be at a certain time this week when they do that exercise, posing to yourself.
That's a good point.
And I'm just bringing it back up to us because we go forward in another collection of time and all these things that go on in our lives, we want to maintain the connectivity memory. And you have to stimulate that. It needs to be strengthened. It is a bond, and you could propose to yourself anything that you think is workable. For myself, I will recall the scribe in the middle of the room here scribing, I know, in at least three different ways at the same time for the benefit of all
That's
of us
right.
and herself and the larger body. So that's an image I can carry for myself through the week and connect back in to this chamber with all of us here.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
When you use the term stimulate resonance memory, I would say that that's what George did with his comment, because that triggered off that mantra that is so... deeply embedded because of its use in numerous invocational spaces. And he got that because his acknowledgement, I know he got that communication from those spaces. He grokked it.
Yep.
That's a true grokking, I think.
One thing we could have done, and we'll do next week, is ask people, do you intend on doing one of the exercises in the upcoming week? And the reason is just what you said, that then my attention goes with them while they seek to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Eric is going to do his job again, or Vidira, now that I know she's going to incorporate this, and so on and so forth. So it's something we can look at.
Barbara Walker says, I want to be here more. I want to be here better.
Good.
And
thank you.
Eric Brummel says, I better want to be here. Many interesting permutations with those particular words.
Lost Horizon says, oh, how I wish I was here.
We wish he was here, too.
Yes.
We haven't been able to locate him for months.
I was thinking of the song, actually.
Oh, I see. Anyway, thank you for
just because
coming.
We're sitting here, and it is Passover some places, and it will be Good Friday this Friday, and Easter workshop with EJ this weekend.
Yes, thank you.
People can use that point as one of their connectivity linkages too, and bring that along with your exercises that you're doing and your awareness and, I'm going to go ahead and do it, consciousness of the group. Group consciousness for this next week.
We're going to get into this thing about declaring yourself too next week. But for right now, and thank you, Barbara Walker, for what you had to say. But for right now, thank you, everybody, for coming.
Silverdale,
as always, what a great support. And we look forward to seeing you next week on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Good night.
Good night.